Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso. And today, my very special guest is Kaylee Underhill. She is the Advocacy and Development Director for the Solar Rights Alliance. And we're here today to talk about AB 205, which the legislature passed to create what supporters called a fixed charge for utility rates, but which opponents call a utility tax. And it's poised to become the largest utility tax in the nation. Solar Rights Alliance says this will be unfair to consumers, and they're fighting to get the utility tax repealed. Kaylee, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
So this new law, if it's not repealed, would eliminate, as I understand it, a $10 a month cap on utility taxes and instead mandate a new tax of between $30 and $70 a month. Tell us how that compares to, you know, other places around the country.
Yeah. So first of all, that's close. But one point of clarification is that right now, the California Public Utilities Commission has the ability to add a $10 a month utility tax to ratepayer bills. And they've had that ability for many years. Mm-hmm. That is in line with the national average, which is about 10, 11 bucks a month. What is happening now is that when the legislature passed the big budget trailer bill, AB 205 last year, it included this little known provision requiring the California Public Utility Commission to charge all ratepayers a new uncapped utility tax that would be based on household income. That bill, AB 205, it went from proposal to law in just 3 days with no public hearing. Yeah. And no public discussion. Yeah.
And exactly. As I understand, it would establish a fixed charge and provide for consumers to be billed for energy use based on income. So I guess the arguments for it were that some low-income customers would get reduced rates and wealthier people would pay more. Tell us what's wrong with the plan in your view.
Right. So it's just a little bit more complicated than that. So if I could just expand on that a little bit.
Yes.
The concept is that now the monopoly investor-owned utilities and some organizations are proposing to charge all ratepayers the highest utility tax in the country, $30 to $70 a month. And just to be clear, you'd have to pay this utility tax even if you don't buy any energy from the utilities.
If you're off-grid, all doing solar, and you know,
if you're connected to the grid at all, for the pleasure of being connected to the grid, you have to pay this utility tax. And because it's totally uncapped, this is something that in the future they could ask the CPUC to raise, just like they ask the CPUC to raise rates, and we all see how that goes, right?
Yeah.
So what's happening is that proponents of the utility tax are saying, okay, if we lower rates a little bit, if we trade you lowering rates just a smidgen for this uncapped utility tax, it'll have the impact of lowering bills for working class households, and it'll get people to electrify. But an organization called the Clean Coalition, which has been around for over a decade, these are serious people doing serious research, looked into all of the utility tax proposals. And what they found is that even a utility tax of $30 a month will raise bills on anyone with a small energy footprint.
So if you're off-grid, you added solar, you live in a little condominium or something like that, that's a big increase for somebody who's not really using very much energy at all.
Yes, exactly. And again, I just want to be clear about the distinction between on versus off-grid. If someone is truly off-grid, that would mean they're like totally disconnected from the utility. So this is if you're connected to the utility at all, which is the vast majority of Californians.
Right, you're connected, but let's say your solar is taking care of 90% of your power usage or something.
But let's also say that you don't have solar, because frankly, solar users are not the majority of people who are going to be harmed by this. It's anyone who lives in a small space, like an apartment or a small home.
Well, there not to mention those who live in a large space and are going to be charged even more, who are maybe struggling to pay the bills, and now theirs are going up too. So it's all kinds of people, it sounds like, are going to be.
It's all kinds of people, yes. But I do want to really, really make this clear that the majority of the impact will be on people who have a small energy footprint to begin with, because this slight reduction in the rates doesn't really benefit them, especially because it'll then be. Yes, exactly.
Not rich people. These are people of, you know, moderate incomes, you know. or maybe right. lower incomes.
Well, and that little bit of a reduction is then far outweighed by this fixed fee or utility tax, whatever you want to call it, that gets tacked on top. Exactly.
Yeah, it's like robbing Peter to pay Paul, basically.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Is this going to impact ratepayers who are on community choice plans, as well as those who are still paying utilities like SDG&E to buy the power directly from them?
Great question. The answer is that this applies to all residential customers of PG&E, SoCal Edison, San Diego Gas and Electric, and all community choice aggregators.
So there's no getting around it, basically.
Right.
Are there any incentives in here at all for consumers to conserve energy or to switch from natural gas to less polluting electricity from solar or wind? It didn't appear so, but...
Well, that's a great question. So in AB 205, again, this big budget trailer bill that created this provision that created this whole mess, mm-hmm. there is nothing that says that bill savings have to be used to electrify. There's nothing in there about freezing or lowering rates. And the Clean Coalition found that any of these utility tax proposals will not incentivize electrification. In fact, under any of them, it will be cheaper for people to stick with gas.
Wow. Why are our electricity rates here the highest in the nation, or one of the highest in the nation? For years they were, and then I think at some point SDG&E quit cooperating and providing information to the folks that were gathering the information, but we're certainly, if not the highest, one of the very highest in the whole country. I mean, what is it going to take to actually get these prices down, and what's causing them to be so high? I guess maybe we should answer the second part first.
The reason that electricity prices are so high in the state of California is because of our over-reliance on long-distance power lines and the cost of liability when those lines spark wildfires. Yeah. For anyone who doesn't know, the investor-owned monopoly utilities get a guaranteed rate of return on every long-distance power line they build. And that then gets passed down to the ratepayers. So they're making their money when they build these long-distance power lines. And then when they spark wildfires, dime for dime, that goes to all of us too. So in adding in this utility tax, they're creating another mechanism by which they can continue to gouge profits from all of us. Now, it is the case that there are lots of solutions to high electricity prices. It's just that a utility tax isn't one of them because it doesn't get at that underlying problem.
What are some of those solutions?
Well, here at Solar Rights Alliance, we're big fans of rooftop solar. And so the best, biggest study that's ever been done into rooftop solar, which is called the Vibrant Clean Energy Study, demonstrated that if we can keep rooftop solar growing in the state of California, we all stand to save $120 billion over the next 30 years. That's $295 per year per ratepayer, regardless of whether or not you have solar. Yeah. So more rooftop solar benefits all of us because it means we don't have to build all those long distance power lines. And it means we have less power lines that then spark wildfires. So that's one solution. And I want to go back for just a moment, if I could, sure. to your question about, you know, what are proponents saying about this? Because I think this gets at another set yes. of solutions. So I do want to clarify that it is the case that folks on subsidy bill credit programs, CARE and FERA, mm-hmm. will see small but temporary decreases in their electricity bills.
How temporary? When can that go up?
Well, the problem is that even if a utility tax like this one causes the bills for those folks to go down just a little bit, mm-hmm. once the rates rise again, and we all know they will, mm-hmm. boom, that gets erased. And meanwhile, millions and millions of people who are just above that subsidy cutoff and are also struggling will immediately see their bills go up. And I want to give one example. The CARE cutoff for a family of one to two is $39,440 in the state of California. So imagine a single mom trying to rent an apartment, making just $40,000 a year, trying to support one kiddo. She is just above.
More than half of that going just for her rent, you know, maybe just for the rent.
Exactly. And then she is going to be just above that cutoff. She's going to get slammed by this thing. Her bills are going to go up. Say you got a retired couple living on a fixed income in an apartment in San Diego. Their bills are going to go up, such on and so forth. So another thing that we could do is better help those folks. There are lots of different groups that are trying to fight for an expansion of CARA and FARA or a freeze to their rate increases to give them real relief. And again, more rooftop solar and batteries, a real rebate program, for example, in the state of California that helps more people get solar, get batteries, get some energy democracy. That would be great too. So there's lots of solutions that get at the actual underlying problem. And a utility tax is not one of them.
Absolutely. I mean, the utilities are not here to, you know, to speak in their own defense. But I suppose if they were, they might be saying, you know, we've had a lot of expenses, all these fires, we have to repair lines, we have to maintain these lines to prevent future fires. You know, inflation, cost of everything has gone up. We need more money to do it. How would you address that concern?
Well, I mean, the first thing I'd say is it's time for the utilities to support clean energy initiatives that reduce all those costs. Mm-hmm. It's time for the utilities to focus on repairing and maintaining a grid that is flexible and functional and does not lead to wildfires and blackouts. And the way to do that is by supporting a wide range of clean energy initiatives and by getting on board with the changes that are coming. So there's a lot that they could do.
Local grids like Borrego has, where the power is produced right there where it's used, instead of building, you know, giant wind farms in the desert and power lines, you know, that go for hundreds of miles.
Right. Like community solar in a local like brown lot that can't be built on anyway, that gets connected to all the, you know, adjoining homes or buildings. That would be great. Solar on like highway right of ways. These are lots of things that we could certainly do and that the utilities could get in on if they chose to.
They could all be done. When is the California Public Utilities Commission expected to make a final decision about this? Can the legislature, you know, weigh in at this point again? And also, why haven't there been any public hearings? Are there any planned?
All great questions. So first things first, AB 205, which again was passed by the legislature, says that the CPUC has to enact this utility tax by July of 2024. So essentially they have to make the decision about how much it will be by July.
Somewhere between $30 and $70 a month for basically everything.
Those are the proposals on the table, but I want to reiterate that the actual provision in AB 205 has no sideboards and no recommendations for the amount that the utility
tax could be. More than that or less than that? Or
totally uncapped, right? The leading proposals have coalesced around the $30 to $70 a month. And I really want to reiterate here that even a utility tax of $30 a month will have the impact of increasing bills for millions and millions of low-income and working-class folks, right, who live in apartments or small homes. So the only solution here is for the legislature to author a bill to repeal the utility tax provision in AB 205. We cannot leave this up to the CPUC. We cannot trust them to get this right. The legislature created this mess. They need to be responsible for fixing it. Mm-hmm. A series of legislators have signed a letter that came out of the assembly heavily criticizing the utility tax. We'd like to thank all the assembly members who signed that. And also, now is the time, instead of punting it to the CPUC, where we cannot trust them to get this right, to take action, repeal it, and be the hero that your constituents need.
Tell us about the growing coalition to oppose it. You've mentioned some legislators. I know there's a bunch of other organizations. Can you give us an idea of some of the types of groups that are coalescing together to try to get this thing repealed?
Absolutely. So there is a coalition letter that has been signed by over 200 organizations that represent a broad swath of impacted groups, peoples, and areas. So for example, several tenants' rights groups have signed on, like Tenants Together and East Bay Housing Organizations, as well as some affordable housing groups like Gallagher Community Housing. Mm-hmm. We also have a wide range of frontline community groups that have signed on, like California Environmental Justice Coalition, the Environmental Justice Coalition for Water, and CEEE. We also have a series of groups representing low-income folks, like the Western Center on Law and Poverty, mm-hmm. and California Alliance for Retired Americans that have signed on. And then, of course, a wide range of environmental and climate groups have also signed on, because this will have the impact of undermining conservation efforts that have been working for decades. Yeah. So groups like...
Send me a copy of that letter. I'd like to see.
Yes, I'll happily send you a letter. Yeah. So there's dozens and dozens of environmental and climate groups on there as well.
How did the San Diego County Assembly and State Senate legislative members vote? Do you know that? And have any of them that voted for it said they might change their mind? I know just looking here in East County that I didn't look everyone up, but I saw that Senator Brian Jones voted no on this. And so Randy Bopel, Akilah Weber voted yes on it. I'm not sure about the rest of it, but I also know that some of them may have, who voted for it, may have voted for it, you know, for certain reasons, but not fully understood the ramifications. Are you seeing much shifting? You know, I mean, how did they vote? And then are you seeing anybody say they're going to change their minds?
Great questions again. I will say, first of all, for anyone who is interested in looking up either the bill or who voted, that information is publicly available. And you can just, you know, Google AB 205.
I'm going to put the link on our website.
Right. Great. So, yes.
As soon as we get the story up about this after this,
right.
We will have that eastcountymagazine.org in our green scene section. You'll be able to find that and look up how your member voted. And then what else can people do if they're concerned about it?
Well, so sorry, just to answer your initial question.
Oh, sorry.
So Republicans as a group have come out against the utility tax because mm-hmm. it's a tax and they don't like taxes.
No taxes.
Democrats largely voted for it because it was the budget bill. Mm-hmm. And many of them have informed us and their constituents that they didn't know it was in there when they voted for it, which again, this is a big budget trailer bill. So there was a lot of different stuff in it. And this particular provision essentially flew under the radar. And I think it is telling that as far as we are aware, no legislator has taken credit for authoring the utility tax provision in AB 205. I will say that the fact that these 22 assembly members have signed on to this letter harshly criticizing the utility tax demonstrates real growth in thinking. Some of those legislators, to be fair, mm-hmm. were not in their seats when this was voted on, but nonetheless, their constituents will be impacted. And lastly, I just want to mention that Senator Berman and mm-hmm. Assemblymember Becker mm-hmm. co-authored an op-ed, and I think the title says it all. The income-based electricity bill provision is a mistake that will raise your rates. Let's not shy away from real solutions. Agreed. And the real solution is to repeal the utility tax provision in AB 205, which they can do by authoring a bill when they're in session in January. So to answer your question about what people can do, please call your legislators and ask them to repeal the utility tax provision in AB 205.
Yeah, and write them and email them.
Write them, email them. If you're interested in speaking with them in a lobby meeting or at one of their town halls, you can hop right on our website. We have a number of resources to help with that. We also have a bunch of coalition partners who are working on this as well. So feel free to get those, you know, groups involved or reach out to any of the coalition partners and we can help get you what you need.
Very good. Folks, if you tuned in late, we are speaking with Kaylee Underhill, who is the Advocacy and Development Director for the Solar Rights Alliance. And we've been speaking about the utility tax provision of AB 205. Where could people get more information, Kaylee? Can you give us the website for your organization?
I certainly can, but I would actually recommend that folks go right for the organization who did the deep dive into the data, which is the Clean Coalition. So the Clean Coalition did a webinar that explained their data and explained the impacts of the utility tax. So that's where I would suggest people go for the background and the information. If people would like our explainers, they can go to our website, which is just solarrights.org. And there is another group that also did a webinar, CEEE, and that organization you can find at CEEETruth.org. That organization is a frontline community group who looked specifically at the impact on frontline communities. And so that can also be a helpful resource for people. So I'd recommend those three.
Great. I'm Googling here as we speak to see what the address is for Clean Coalition. And it looks like it is clean-coalition.org. So you can go there to get that research.
And CEEE, for anyone who doesn't know, is the Coalition for Environmental Equity and Economics.
Excellent. I'm going to let you have the last word here, Kaylee. What else would you like our audience to know about AB 205 and the utility tax?
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the time. And I think it's just worth reiterating that even a utility tax of $30 a month will have the impact of increasing utility bills for millions of low-income and working-class folks who happen to live in an apartment or a small home that just happens to use less electricity or anyone conserving energy. So if you're listening, please reach out to your local legislator and ask them if they will introduce a bill in January to repeal the utility tax provision of AB 205 before it's too late. There is still time. Action can still happen. And it's up to you.
Very good. Well, I want to thank you so much. We really appreciate you taking the time to come on and educate our audience about this very important issue. And thank you for joining us today on the East County Magazine Radio Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso. We will also be posting the podcast on our website at eastcountymagazine.org.